So welcome to the Nine Hertz podcast. This week we've started off with a bit of crazy bit of grind, I guess, called Tiny Rage by a band called Moni Gitchell, which is carrying on the tradition of celebrity names, just messed up slightly. Brian X Blessed, I think, is one of my favourites. And there's that cricket band named Jeffrey Oycott. But yeah, this is a band from Glasgow. Absolutely brilliant stuff. Just straight into the point. It seems to be a sort of like compilation tape that they've kind of put together of like since 2019 to now, still going. And yeah, just really raging sort of two-piece. Pete, how did you find this one? Because I think this has completely passed me by and I don't quite know how.
They emailed us, actually. And they feature members of a band that you reviewed in the past on the Nine Hertz website called Damn Teeth, which is why they got in touch with us.
So
that's why they got in touch with us and said, you know, you might like this, and here we go. So listened to it and really enjoyed it. You know, they're in other bands, you know, another band with a celebrity name called Billy Ray Osiris, a band called The Thin Privilege. It reminds me of Scottish bands, and it's, you know, kind of in my head there's a distinct sound, you know, like bands like Kaddish as well, I guess.
Yeah,
like raw and impassioned and gritty. Well, I do wonder then whether I'm just getting into, you know, like a caricature of Scottish people, and you know, but and lazily lumping a whole nation's sound into one. But anyway, maybe. But either way, they compare themselves to Botch and The Armed, and as soon as I kind of read The Armed reference, that made immediate sense to me. It was, you know, the chaotic drums and that pure shot of energy. It kind of got my blood pumping and locked me in. You know, also, you know, it says on Bandcamp, it's the best of Moni Gitchell, 2019 to 2021. So I read that as like it's a posthumous compilation, but. You know, they're still playing gigs. They're playing Sheffield in a day or two from when we're recording this, which I can't make, sadly. But the main thing is they're still going around, and that's really good to hear based on this.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I find it quite funny that they've got possibly 5 minutes of music from 3 years of being a band. But, you know, that's probably part of the joke. Yeah, I love it. So, yeah, it looks like they've got like a digital album available for just £3. And there's a very limited edition cassette available from Gold Mold Records, which I've not heard of. I'm gonna have to check that out. But if you want to hear this and more, you can get the full 5 minutes at monigitchell.bandcamp.com. Amazing stuff. So as ever, it's the Nine Hertz podcast. It's nine amazing tracks that we found through sort of combing the underground and sort of poking around this week. And so next up, this is a band that kind of remind me a lot of sort of like the golden age of scrams and stuff. I mean, I know we play a lot of this kind of stuff, but this kind of stood out a lot. I know that Chris from Sound Devastation Records was kind of very keen on this. I saw him sort of like share it on his Instagram. And yeah, with good reason, it's so good. The artwork's fantastic. The whole feel of the thing just feels very sort of wild and inventive. Yeah, kind of Funeral Dino vibes here. Possibly like the French bands, Dietro. I got little bits of La Chieti from Italy as well. I don't know if you're getting these references at all, Pete, but
no.
Yeah, I love this.
No, I'm not. As you know, I've said on this podcast before that I get my screamo fix from your choices on this podcast.
Solely this,
you know? but it's fine. I'm not against it. I don't, you know, it's not post-rock or something, which I really don't like. I like it. It's just not my sound. And in that sense, actually, listen to this, and I heard it before you picked it. I had this slightly odd sensation that even though I haven't got the points of reference to know this or even claim it on this podcast, but even without that, it felt like this is an incredible album, which almost like a defining one for the genre. I mean, I'm in no position
definitely.
To state that, but it just feels such a strong album, so good, and you know, like I have seen people talk about it and kind of, you know, proclaim the same who are better keyed into it. So you just sense it, you know, the music is amazing, the kind of the energy of it. It's probably as perfect a screamo album as you can get, you know, in this year. Again, with all the caveats of my knowledge in this area not being too great. I've heard them before. I've kind of followed them. I've been fond of them from what I've heard. I'm not sure where, maybe from yourself, but I suspect this just elevates them to like God levels within the sound.
Yeah, definitely. I think it kind of harks back to a certain time, but it's like you say, it's so inventive, and there's bits on this where it's just absolutely flawed. So yeah, I think it's worth listening to the whole record together. It sounds very much like a concept one. It kind of runs into each other, feels very fluid. So yeah, really, really amazing album. So yeah, this album is actually called Ritma, and you can get it at momentofcollapserecords.bandcamp.com. We're going to play the very brief Cigarette for an Actor. So that was a band called Puri Race on Moments of Collapse Records. Absolutely brilliant record. Probably going to be in several lists at the end of the year. So next up, we've got the, I guess, I'll keep saying the return of these bands, but they've probably never gone away. Fatso Jetson, what a familiar name from years and years ago, have released, I guess, is it a split release, Pete, on Ripple
It is,
Music? Yeah. It's called Live from Total Annihilation, and this is really special. I listened to this in the sunshine today, sat by a river, and it was just perfect, like relaxation music, to be honest. I loved it. Yeah.
That sounds like you say, that's the most apt setting. You know, the concept of this album, for what I read, was that in lieu of, you know, being able to perform gigs in COVID times, Fatso Jetson, this band, All Souls, who I've not heard of before, entered this studio called Total Annihilation in LA, and performed, you know, they performed a set each. It's of unreleased or rare or new material. They then recorded it, and Ripple Music have picked it up, and here we are. You know, Fatso Jetson is like genuinely one of the godfathers of the stoner rock sound, but a bit like Mass Surreality, actually, they've never totally sounded pure stoner rock, even though they've always been there, and the fact that they were central to the, you know, the Californian desert scene that spawned the whole thing. You know, even back then, they'd done things their own way. I saw them at Roadburn in the late 2000s, and they were so good. You know, they're one of the highlights in a festival full of all my favorite bands. And you know, you could tell then that there's something special about and different about them. And sometimes they come across as quite like flamboyant. They've got a saxophonist in the band, you know, at times, and that came across amazingly live. But what I really like about their core sound, their core is like understated. You know, it's kind of, this song's like a perfect example of it. It bustles along on the breeze, you know, in a beautiful way. But, you know, they've never followed trends, not even the one they helped start. And
Yeah.
that what that means is they still sound only like Fatso Jetson. And it's why they still create music as good as this. Even, you know, it must be 25 years at least, but probably 30 years since they started. And it's amazing to see.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of half familiar with them, and I know that they're just like an important band. But I think they've been going since 1994, which is crazy when you think about it. But yeah, like nice to sort of welcome legends onto the podcast, to be honest. I was just reading about All Souls, actually. It's members of Toti Moshi. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
No.
Yeah, brilliant sort of wild live band. Been going quite a long time as well. And it looks like All Souls have kind of toured with really interesting bands like, you know, Jesus Lizard I mentioned here, Melvins, Meat Puppets. So yeah, I'd like to hear the whole thing, to be honest. I'm sure we've been sent this, but I've only heard the Fat Suggestion song. But yeah, great to sort of have these kind of very important people on the podcast, and great to see that they're still releasing music like years, decades later. We've had like the return of so many bands, you know, Bongzilla come to mind recently, and
Nebula.
It just feels like a who's who is kind of like circling back, and it's great, and they're still making relevant music. It's not as if it's crap. So yes, it's really impressive. So yeah, we're going to play a song from the Fatso Jetson side. This is their first sort of cut from this 9-track, and this is called Drifting Off to Storybook Death.
Just wait.
So that was the sounds of Fatso Jetson there. Next up, from Brucia Records, from Genoa in Italy, we've got a band called Hegemony. And this is just like a pretty brutal departure, I guess, from the sort of like peaceful stone rock we've just had. This is quite towering stuff, really. I guess like they've called it blackened post-metal, but I think there's possibly something a bit more sinister under there as well. Really, really like this beat. I don't know. On first listen, I was just like, yeah, I like this a lot.
Mm. You know, the first thing I saw about them, you know, they have their "for fans of" line on the Bandcamp, and it mentions like Cult of Luna, Conjurer, Downfall of Gaia. And that's spot on. You know, I completely agree with that. You know, it links with that black and post-metal kind of tag as well, I guess. It's almost like that polished grand production. And I suppose more to the point, the theatre of post-metal, I hear in this.
Yes.
You know, reaching for the stars with like, you know, with its epicness, rather than any kind of black metal or hardcore grittiness about it. And as such, I don't think it's something I'd listen to. You know, I stopped listening to Cult of Luna after The Beyond, but for what they're going for, it sounds absolutely massive. And, you know, you sense that people will lap this up and it'll take them places.
Definitely. I think there's more kind of masterful strokes like under the surface of this that I kind of didn't hear on the first listen as well. So there's like electronics kind of like oozing out of this somehow. And they've kind of described it as a dissonant wall of sound. And I think that comes across with the production, that sort of very sort of like heavy downtrodden production. But yeah, I think that's spot on. Like it's going to appeal to a lot of people. And I think this is one of those ones where I just picked because it immediately spoke to me. I don't think there's much behind, you know, any other reason why I picked it. It's just, yeah, it's kind of very satisfying as a listen. So we're going to play the only song that they've released so far to the public. This is Abeyance, and you can get this at bruciarecords.bandcamp.com. Okay, so that was a band called Hegemony. Absolutely brilliant stuff on Brucia Records there. Next up, again, another departure. This is back into the realms of stoner rock, but like with such a weird bent and a kind of wild side to it. So Fuzzorama Records have released some of the most interesting records in the last few years, and we played them quite a lot. But I've never heard anything like this, to be honest with you. Wizard, not the Roy Wood band, or you know, anything to do with Electric Wizard, or you know, any sort of wizard band that I've come across, yeah, it's spelled in a completely different way. This is absolutely brilliant, Pete. I don't know how to describe it without doing a disservice, really. It's got this fierce experimentation to it, but it manages to sound like a stone rock band playing backwards or something at points. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I like that. You know, it's a very happy record, I think. And yeah, you know, Fuzzorama is a, you know, it's a really good label. It's a stoner rock label. It's run by members of Chuck Fighters, and they've always kind of brought out the kind of the cream of the Swedish underground for the rest of the world to hear. But you know, they've been around a long time. They've been around since, I think, like Gravity X came out in mid 2000s. But you know, but they seem to be in the middle of a spurt of releases, which is brilliant. You know, it heightens activity from them. And they're branching past the borders too, which is great news, because then, you know, they find bands like Wizard, who are from Montana. It's, I don't know, just like I said, it's happy. It launches out, it's bold, it's on the front foot constantly. You know, you kind of allude to it. I've gone very stoner rock with my selections for this podcast. This is no, you know, exception. You know, I can imagine hearing this back in 2000. And if so, you know, if it had come out then, it had joined, you know, the movement seamlessly. You know, the vocals are really, you know, excellent on here, but the guitars are just magical. You know, there is something different in there, and it kind of, it got me really excited.
Yeah, I mean, I can absolutely see these guys playing Desert Fest. This is like perfect kind of caliber of stuff on here. Is just amazing. I mean, I've listened to the whole record several times, and I still can't kind of put my finger on which is my favorite track. I mean, the one you've picked, Supernova, is amazing, but the other one they've released sort of to the public so far, called Don't Zorp and Warp, is equally amazing. I kept thinking this sounds like one big piece of music as well. It kind of flows incredibly well, and yeah, it's very hard to pin down, but I think that's kind of what makes it incredibly special. So, yeah, like as we say, if you want to hear this, you can go to fuzzoramarecords1.bandcamp.com. The band's called Wizard, and we're going to play a song called Supernova. We'll be right back. So that was a band called Wizard on Fuzzorama Records there. Next up, a bit of death metal for you. Band called Hissing, who I've been going since about 2015, from Seattle, Washington. This is, yeah, just amazing. Like, I think there's some comparisons you can kind of draw here for, you know, the more dissonant sort of stuff, like Portal, or the more chaotic sort of stuff. But I think this has got like a very organic sound to it. It's slightly, I wouldn't say sloppy, but it's kind of very loose and feels very sort of mysterious. And I think that's what kind of drew me towards like listening to it in full, really. Really, really enjoyed this. What did you make of this? Because I know you've kind of gone, we've talked about this at length, but you've gone through like a death metal renaissance, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your own sort of open university course in death metal in the last few years.
Yes.
So what do you make of this?
I really liked it. I mean, to be fair, like you criticizing me, I always liked this style of death metal anyway, even before I kind of, I think what I was missing previously was the, you know, the meat and potatoes death metal, which I had time, yeah. I needed to kind of teach myself. But this, you know, the strange, weirdo, you know, messed up kind of death metal has always been something I've kind of got. Since, you know, I think maybe like when I first heard Portal and things like that, I knew that this was a special sound. And in fact, with Hissing, I reviewed their album Permanent Destitution, like pre-podcast days when, you know, we still actually wrote the reviews on the Nine Nets website.
Imagine that.
And I was writing. It's so much easier to talk. But, you know, like I read back that review once you picked them for this podcast. And, you know, there's a couple of lines there. One is like I essentially compared them to listen to Portal and Our Place of Worship is Silence and Titan Blood all at the same time, you know, because it is right. A very full and chaotic sound. And then there's a line where it's like, I sum them up as like an electric storm of harsh noise upon harsh metal. So, you know, in a word, they're very intense. I find, you know, that's the experience of listening to them. And you know, nothing has changed in the intervening years. Nothing has, you know, they haven't been able to relieve that tension that creates this. It is still as manic as it was back then.
Definitely.
You know, and someone says it doesn't even sound like, you know, never mind death metal. It doesn't sound like music in the traditional sense. More these, like a series of overbearing, pulsating waves. And they all like just crash against your skull. It never relents. Not even the slightest drop off in tempo, like to catch your breath. It's just, I really enjoy it. It's a bewildering listen. And weirdly, and I realized this, like when the song finished, I thought, I want to, you know, I went back and I wanted to play again. But I think I took a moment. I thought, actually, just have a moment, you know, like a bit of a break for my own safety. But it's really compelling music, I find.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of chaotic abstract cover of this kind of just reflects the chaos within, I think. And and I think people who love kind of like primitive death metal will get a lot out of this, and people who like the technical stuff will equally get something out of it. So I think it's a nice kind of nice is the wrong word, but it's a nice compromise between those two worlds, those two death metal kind of ways of thinking. So yeah, absolutely brilliant stuff. So if you want to listen to this, you can go to hissingseattle.bandcamp.com. You can buy the CD and the digital version there, and I think there's links to buy the vinyl as well. So yeah, give this a spin. This is a song called, which one did I pick? Hostile Absurdity. Okay, so following on from Hissing, we've got the return of a band that I remember from the sort of Nine Hertz Forum days, a band called Obiak from London. They seem to have reformed after what seems like a very long time. I think they released things in 2002, which is mad, and seemed to sort of quieten down after an album called Eye Tree Pie, which was out in 2009. Yeah, they've been back since 2021, and yeah, this is their latest album, Indian Ocean, which is absolutely brilliant. The cover actually reminds me of like old Genesis records or something. It's insane. very sort of psychedelic, and you know, lots of symbolism going on. But it, like, contained within is this absolutely crazy prog via sort of stoner doom sound, really very ambitious and not what I remembered at all from back then. Pete, have they changed a lot, or am I just like out of touch? I haven't listened to them for so long.
They have, yeah. I mean, I suppose it's inevitable. I didn't expect this from, you know, I knew that they'd reformed, but I completely didn't, you know. And again, like you said, we knew them. They used to at least one of the members used to post that in our forum, and that's going back so that, you know, more than a decade. yeah that alone dates it. But I wasn't expecting this, you know. To me, what it sounds like, it kind of follows some of their British peers, I think. And then I was thinking bands like Elephant Tree, Boss Keloid, yeah, definitely, Hast, even Dune, I guess. And it's like a modern approach to stoner rock and doom that is progressive. It's got clean vocals, you know, it's like, say, prog elements, a bold production. And it's weird because some of those elements you'd think would be anathema to what you think you'd want from this sound. But somehow, you know, those bands, and now Obia as well, they make it work. And it feels, yeah, something of a movement is happening, you know, in our country for that. You know, I think there's something of the cerebral elemental aura of Yob in here as well. Just a confidence to it that drives it forward in a really impressive way. It surprised me, you know. It's not to, they were always a bit, there's something strange and different about them even back then, but I wasn't at all expecting this. But yeah, I you know, you can imagine this elevating them to like higher level of consciousness within the scene than they ever had before. Yeah, because of the quality of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so ambitious as to be like, is this the same band? You know, that's what I kind of thought. Like, listen to it. This is incredible stuff. Really, really interesting diversions. There's lots of brass on here, which you wouldn't expect in this kind of genre either. And when it does sort of funnel out the speakers, you're sort of like, does this work? And I think the answer is yes. Like, the more I listen to it, the more it just makes sense. So, yeah, I enjoyed this immensely. So we're going to play a song called Sea Burial. And like I say, the album's called Indian Ocean. You can get this via obiats.bandcamp.com, where you can actually listen to all of their sort of past stuff. So see what you think of this. Welcome back, Obiat. So that was the return of Obiat from London. Absolutely brilliant sort of prog-tinge stuff there. Next up, we've got a band that we've played before on the podcast. Last year, they released a brilliant record called Red Giant. I think that might have made our list last year as well. Lucius Fox, who are from Kalamazoo in Michigan, which is a fantastic place name, I have to just say that. But yeah, the new record is called Solastalgia. And yeah, I thought this was absolutely brilliant, like really sort of twisted. It's very hard to describe how these guys sound. I mean, it's got like elements of, I'd say, Old Man Gloom in there somewhere. Math rock is another thing you kind of maybe put here, but it's got like a sludgy bent to it too. Pete, I think we had difficulties describing this accurately before, and I think that's why I like this band so much.
Mm. Yeah, I got excited when I saw this had come out, and before we'd even had a chance to like get around to playing it, you'd picked it, so you beat me to the punch. And that's because, you know, because that last album was so great, as you say. The comparisons you made, I was trying to kind of put together how, you know, what composite sound it is, and actually Old Man Gloom and Math Rock are kind of the missing puzzles I was thinking of. So, you know, that's really spot on, I think. I was thinking, you know, I think there's a torch element in there. I think there's a big caveat on that, and a lot of bands get compared to Torch. We're probably as guilty as anyone, but it seems, you know, that they're anybody who combines a vaguely doom or stoner sound with clean elements gets compared to them. But there's, yeah, you know, there's so much more to the magic of Torch, and actually, I think Lucius Fox have some of those same skills, you know, to make something sound so graceful and cheerful with weighty, crunchy guitars. Mm-hmm. And like you say, it even becomes almost technical. But the feeling I got from it was just a sense of a band absolutely loving what they create, completely, you know, lost within it. And you know, like, it makes me happy. I'd say it's practically impossible not to get caught up in that. This almost like a shared experience between listener and band. You know, I've only heard this one song, but the album's out on the 19th of August, and you know, I've got my calendar marked because I'm really excited.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Really excited to hear this. And this is actually a concept album about climate change, which is quite apt because I think we're just coming out of 40 degrees centigrade here, which is, I think, the highest this country's ever seen. So, you know, the sort of emergency is real. And I think people kind of need to sit up and take notice. So, yeah, this is kind of like preaching to the converted, I think, with us. But, you know, if we can make a difference with people who listen to this kind of music, all the better, really. So if you want to hear this, you can go to lucisfox.bandcamp.com. The album's called Solastalgia, and we're going to play a song called Pyrocumulonimbus. Okay, so that was Lucius Fox, their return after last year's fantastic album. Really, really exciting stuff there. And yeah, can't wait to hear it in August. Next up, and to close this week's podcast, our band that got in touch via email and via Instagram. If you want to do the same, then yeah, head to our sort of socials. Called Les Nadi, and they're from Cordoba in Argentina. And this is absolutely brilliant stuff. The cover to this, I have to say, is absolutely stunning. Really mysterious and like very abstract, and I think it kind of reflects the music that's inside, really. Like, this is incredibly spiritual sounding, sludgy, mysterious, almost like ritualistic sound to it as well. And they're only a duo. They've made this incredible noise for a duo, and that always blows my mind as to how, you know, they kind of come up with this this very full sound. Pete, I mean, we could have played anything off this. It's so good. We could play a song called Zonda.
Yeah, you know, when we, you know, the funny thing is we'd already found it, hadn't we? Before, by the time the concert is, it,
yes.
And we'd already fallen in love with it. It reminds me of a lot. There was an album by a band called Papango from Brazil. We played an album called Holocene, which was incredible. And that then seemed to blow up, you know. That's, it's had a, I think it's had a UK release on vinyl recently. It has those same hallmarks of, you know, we've said this time and again, if you want weird and kaleidoscopic psychedelic takes on like stoner and doom, then just look towards South America, you know, and Argentina is particularly fruitful in that regard. They just conjure this wonderfully strange and mystical slant on otherwise, you know, familiar stoner rock sounds. As if they'd like taken the template, but are operating on another plane, you know, from the rest of the world. You know, the underlying stoner rock, like the driving opening riff, is very familiar. It reminds me of the European bands of the early noughties, like Dozer or even like 35007, who were relatively experimental too. But then they alter it, you know, they alter the reality of it by through the vocals and the twinkling guitars, which are pure South American. I love the whole release. You know, I've picked a lot of stoner rock. I've said that on this podcast because really strong and new takes on it. I could have picked a load more. There was a lot of releases this week, which were straight up stoner rock, and there's nothing wrong with that per se. But truth be told, this, you know, you want the adventure in it. This is how stoner rock should sound these days, you know, different and dangerous and new. And it's just, it's very exciting to hear music like this.
Yeah, quite daring, to be honest, and very sort of satisfying as a result. So, I was absolutely bowled over by this, really. I think it's astounding. And I think we'll probably come back to this as well. So you can get this at lesnadi.bandcamp.com. The album's called Destiero y Siembra. And we're going to play a song called Zonda. We'll see you next week.